Well, hello there, everybody. This is Eric Sinrod along with Jonathan Armstrong. We're your Dwayne Morris twins across the pond, bringing you everything IT and legal under the sun. I'm sitting here in San Francisco today. I will be turning you over to Jonathan in just one second, because Jonathan, I know you have a lot on your mind when it comes to the European Commission issuing new data protection proposals. What can you tell us?
Yeah, this is long awaited, perhaps not extremely welcome, but some revolutionary changes to the way in which data protection law exists in Europe. Currently, as avid listeners will recall, the data protection regime in Europe is split into national laws which hang underneath a European directive. If you like, the European directive is a skeleton, and each nation state fleshes that skeleton out with its own legislation. Now, it's undoubtedly the case that the inconsistencies between those 27 different regimes, 28 when Croatia joins in 2013, is difficult to manage, particularly for US corporations who are managing their operations across Europe. And the European Commission, I think, have been correct in trying to deal with that. And their proposal to deal with that is to have a new European regulation. And rather than have the skeleton, if you like, they will mandate the body. And so, theoretically at least, each EU member state would have the same law. In my mind, that's only part of the issue, because the issue is not just one of the law, it's one of interpretation. Different countries care differently about different things and protect them accordingly. So generally speaking, a cliche we've used before, Eric, if I'm French, nobody really matters that much about my marital affairs or my infidelities. I believe you in the US had a famous Frenchman visit that illustrated that. But if you mention that somebody is in a trade union, then that's something that they would, generally speaking, not want other people to know. And it's more or less the opposite in Europe, in the UK, sorry. And that those local sensibilities influence the way in which data protection law is enforced. So in my view, there are still going to be differences, because we're still going to have each of those 27 different authorities enforcing the legislation. But having said that, the regulation does have some interesting things in it. The obligations to register the collection and transfer of data in country are likely to be removed. The proposed new rules will have extraterritorial reach. So EU laws will apply if personal data is handled abroad by companies that are active in the EU. Either they offer services to EU citizens or they monitor their behaviors, so they track them, for example. Interesting opportunity there for US corporations to think through their compliance strategy when the new regulations are in, because it looks like they can either elect for one EU country to regulate them, or otherwise they will be regulated by the country that receives the first complaint. So for US corporations particularly, now might be the time to seize the initiative. The idea is that the powers to prosecute will be toughened up. There'll be extra resources, apparently, for those national data protection authorities. And fines can be up to €1 million, or 2% of the global annual turnover of the company, whichever is the greatest. So a significant increase in fines. Data processors will also have responsibility for their actions. Those who know these rules already will know that, generally speaking, there are two categories, data controllers and data processors. Data processors are usually the organizations that aren't in the EU, and usually there's a lighter touch on them. And the idea is that that will all change. There'll be a need to appoint a corporate data protection officer with specific responsibilities. We have that role already in Germany and in some non-EU countries such as Switzerland, and the proposal is that this expands across the EU. And there's special treatment for people doing certain things that are meant to be higher risk. So, for example, data mining, predictions based on that data, behavioral advertising type stuff, health studies, CCTV, that's closed circuit, security cameras, video data, genetic data, biometric data. And one of the other things I think that we're trying to work through at the moment is something called the right to be forgotten. Now, originally this was meant to be directed at social media businesses, and the idea was that if I, 40%, let's say, of the photographs on Facebook are feature one of the individuals there inebriated, apparently. So if I'm a college kid and somebody's taken my photograph and put it up on Facebook, I can say to Facebook, not only must you take that photograph down, but you must also find out who has seen that picture of me and tell them to destroy their copy as well. So that might be another commercial enterprise that scraped the site, for example. Or it might just be somebody who's moved the photograph to another site. Now,
so what,
besides...
what power would a Facebook have to actually ensure that somebody who's seen that picture does destroy it?
Well, I mean, that's, again, an unanswered question as far as I know at this stage. This is very much, this proposal, the right to be forgotten, is something that's been promulgated by certain people at the European Commission for some while. It hasn't really got any traction, but it's been shoved into this regulation. And I think whilst we might be sympathetic to Facebook, you know, how can they enforce it? Additionally, I think on public policy grounds, we've got to consider whether it's a good idea or not. For example, imagine I'm a fraudster, not convicted, not under investigation.
You're having us imagine a lot of things about you today, but go on.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, you're talking about your French situation, but go on.
I've got so I'm channeling money through Luxembourg, my ill-gotten gains. Can I then exercise my right to be forgotten to say to the Luxembourg bank, by the way, those last 12 transactions moving money into the bank and out, I exercise my right to be forgotten. Forget that those transactions ever existed. Can the bank resist that request? Bear in mind that there'll be no law enforcement defense, which exists in most data protection legislation at that time, because I, the criminal, am not under investigation at that time. If I'm quick, I'll move the money in, exercise the right to be forgotten, and go off with my cash on my merry way. So I think there's a whole load of other issues are brought up by this regulation. At this stage, it poses, I think, in my mind, many more questions than answers. Security breach is another area where it's going to be addressed, where the proposal is that security breaches would have to be reported within 24 hours, which seems to me to be entirely unrealistic. And we just wait to see what reaction to these rules is. Even the data commissioners themselves are not wholeheartedly enthusiastic. And one of the things I was interested in, Eric, is, of course, this news comes out. Obviously, many bits of the regulations target Facebook's activity. Is this something that will impact the IPO, which has also been announced this week, do you think?
Well, first I want to say, Jonathan, you're not easily forgotten. So even if you trigger your right to be forgotten, we'll always remember you. In terms of Facebook, you know, it's very interesting. You know, I've been reading, as I'm sure others have, that, you know, the potential valuation of Facebook in terms of its IPO is anywhere between $50 and $100 billion. That's with a B.
Mm.
That's a pretty sizable amount. And, you know, Facebook really is the juggernaut on the Internet. So, you know, who's to say what, you know, could or could not impact what happens on IPO? But I think it's fair to say that the IPO is going to be quite rich.
I was just going to say one other thing. As you know, Eric, I've been up in Canada this week, and I thought there was another interesting juxtaposition, really, between Facebook and between the fortunes of RIM, which were very much the talk of Canada. RIM, of course, was Canada's tech darling, producing the BlackBerry, hit harder times, recent change of management and a slight change of focus. And maybe this is a discussion for another day, given the time that we have. But quite often, a lot of technology companies have a natural shelf life, don't they? And quite often, it's human mood makes them change their business model, or it's a competitor that comes along, like Apple has to RIM. But maybe also legislation and the way in which they react to legislation can be something that hastens their demise as well. So we know Facebook have got clever people looking into this. I know some of them personally. I know them. I know that they're clever. But this will impact businesses, large and small. And I wonder if this legislation, to some extent, is a sort of an old-fashioned cannon, when really a sniper shot was needed.
Perhaps so. And that, I think you do raise a topic that we should address at another time, you know, sort of how tech companies can come and go, and what was once dominant no longer is. We can think of some right off the top of our head. Remember when you wanted to go online, it was CompuServe, Prodigy, and AOL. Remember when Yahoo was the dominant, you know, search engine. You know, we can go on and on with examples, and it might be worth talking about. There was MySpace, you know, as the dominant social networking site, no longer. Well, it's now Tech Law 13. You had plenty of Jonathan Armstrong today, so he will not be forgotten. And I want to thank you. We both want to thank you for joining us today. This is Eric Sinrod in San Francisco. I'm at ejsinrod@duanemorris.com. Jonathan will take us home in a second, but I'll just tell you that you can see us on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn. And Jonathan, wrap it up.
Yeah, and I'm jparmstrong@duanemorris.com. I'd also like to say a personal thank you to the people in Canada who gave me a warm welcome and were very kind in the things that they said about Tech Law 10 up there as well. It's nice to know we have followers in that part of the world as well. But thank you all for listening, and do join us next week. Bye now.
Bye.